Failure is not an option.
What difference at this point does it make?
Nobody said it was going to be fun.
This is Real Talk, a fearless, poignant, and intrepid show where truth speaks louder than words. This is Real Talk with your host, Audrey Russo.
The shame, not of this world, so we live on the run. We keep our eyes set, on what is to come.
It happened before. It will happen again. It's just a question of when.
Time's a luxury we don't have.
This is Nani Darwis, author of The Devil We Don't Know, The Dark Side of Revolutions in the Middle East, and president of Arabs for Israel. You are listening to Audrey Russo on Real Talk.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, this is Audrey Russo, and you're listening to Real Talk. And that bumper was Are You Ready? By Creed. And in our current milieu, we have to ask ourselves, are we ready? Are we ready for the consequences of weak leadership in the West regarding Islamic jihadists? Our leaders appear to be woefully ignorant concerning the nature of the ideology of Islam, and there have been grave consequences for Christians living under Islam. And there will be grave consequences for us in the States if this continues. Well, we're going to discuss that and much more with my next guest. For the new listeners, Raymond Ibrahim is a Shulman Fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center, a Writing Fellow with Middle East Forum, a Hoover Institution Media Fellow, and a CBN News contributor. He's a guest lecturer at universities, briefs governmental agencies, and he's testified before Congress regarding the abstract failures that direct American discourse concerning Islam. He's also the author of several books, including The Al-Qaeda Reader and his latest release, Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians. It's my great pleasure to give a Real Talk welcome back to Raymond Ibrahim. Welcome back, Raymond.
Hi, Audrey. It's only on your show that I get such a kind reception.
I'm glad. Well, it's just
all the clapping kind of, and whatnot.
Yeah, it kind of gets a little congested in here with that, but that's all right. I'll tell you what's going on in the world. It never leaves us wanting for things to talk about here. So we're going to jump right into this. You know, with all the blatant activity of groups like ISIS and Boko Haram against Christians globally, it would appear to be almost an intentional act for Western leaders to dismiss and or ignore that Christians are being targeted for their faith. Do you agree, Raymond?
Oh, absolutely. We're kind of in an interesting era now whereby, you know, earlier, several years ago, one could have said that, you know, the Islamists and the jihadists and these types of people were doing what they were doing, but they went out of their way to hide it. And, you know, that is the whole concept, for example, of my book, The Al-Qaeda Reader. I tried to show people were familiar with what Al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden and Ayman Zawahiri, were seeing. And the messages that they were intentionally disseminating to the West via Al Jazeera and then, you know, onwards to BBC, CNN, and so forth. And those messages were all about grievances and, you know, Israel and the Palestinians and just any number of things that were sort of palatable to the Western mindset. And I always thought, and many did too, that, you know, if the reality came out, then, well, maybe then, you know, the West, far from being hoodwinked, would actually respond. But now we're in a time where the reality is out. A group like the Islamic State, groups that you mentioned like Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, any number of other, you know, Islamist organizations and so forth, are not even playing that game anymore. They're not saying anything about grievances. They're not saying anything. They're just saying, you're an infidel and I have to kill you because Allah tells me to. And they're doing that. And still, our leadership is such that it won't even acknowledge that. You know, they had an excuse previously. You can say, well, they're being tricked, they're being hoodwinked, etc. Now, you know, these groups are going out of their way to tell us how barbaric and savage they are. And the media and, you know, Western leadership still are trying to dissemble it and push it, you know, kind of push it under the rug, if you will. And so the point is, it's no longer about, you know, ignorance or trickery. It's just about willful deception from Western leadership, I believe.
Yeah, you know, as far as grievances, according to the State Department, I have a smile on my face right now. It seems to be
they need jobs. Yeah,
you can't even say it with a straight face. The idiocy is Mm-mm. incredible. It's like Dumb and Dumber, Mm-mm. and
yeah.
Jobs. I'm wondering where they pulled that out of. I don't even know where to go with that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
the interesting thing about it is, you know, if you listen, it's Marie Harf, you know, the spokesperson for the State Department. And if you listen to what she said, you know, much of it was agreeable. You know, I could agree with it and say, hey, this is good stuff. She said, you know, we're killing them and we have to kill them. But you know what? Killing them won't solve the problem. And I agree. Killing them won't solve the problem. Right. And then she said, and she said something else that was intelligible, because we have to get to the root source. Hey, I agree with that, too. You got to get to the root source. And then what was the root source? It was lack of job opportunities. and so there you see, you know, how like the whole thing, you know, she was using correct premises. You know, it's not about, it's an ideology. Or well, she didn't say that, but it's not about killing them because they'll always sprout more. And it's not about, you know, this and that. It's about something deeper. And I'm thinking, okay, great. So what's that deeper thing? And immediately she brings it back to a very materialistic thing. She brings it to a Marxist left-wing worldview, materialism. You know, if they're cutting heads and burning churches and enslaving women and, you know, decapitating everyone in sight, it must be because they don't have jobs to keep them busy and to pay for their bills. And so you can see the mentality here is absolutely warped. You know, because the first thing that comes to mind, you know, let's forget about Islamic doctrines and all that. But you know what? It just so happens that all around the world, there's a lot of people who need jobs and who are impoverished. And a lot of those, millions of them, are Christians and Buddhists and Hindus, et cetera, et cetera. So why is it that it's only happening amongst Islamic people who are telling you it's not about jobs, it's about this and that?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Yeah. So I guess then that's why Muhammad was doing this. I mean, they're doing what Muhammad did. So he did it because of a lack of jobs. Is that it?
Well, you know, in a way, he did do it because of a lack of job, or if you will, he did it.
He did it
because he wanted money. And so in the beginning of Muhammad's career, when he started going on jihads, what did he do? He didn't just go and fight and say, hey, you have to believe in Allah. He went and fought, and then he took everyone's money and enslaved everyone and burned their homes and profited from it. And so that mentality, you know, still exists, and it's rationalized by Muslims, but who say, hey, you know, our prophet did it, and we have to follow the sunnah. And so that's how it is, right?
Exactly, yes. I'm sorry, I'm making jokes over here, but, you know, it's so incredibly stupid that anyone to believe that, and sadly and tragically, you have people in this country who know nothing about the ideology of Islam and would be repeating what Harf had said, that it's because of jobs.
Right.
So,
well, that's the whole point, you know. I mean, that's why they repeat it, to reinforce that sort of thinking, and then, you know, it's like a vicious circle that goes on in circles, and meanwhile, you know, they're doing what they're doing, and everyone is still blind.
Yeah, exactly. I want to talk about this recent abduction of Syrian Christians. The latest reported numbers concerning ISIS abduction of Syrian Christians has now risen to between 100 and 150 hostages, and sadly, of course, that includes men, women, and children. It appears that they're threatening to kill them. Now, Western leaders are hardly addressing this, which I believe will empower ISIS and their ilk even more. But, Raymond, what do you believe will happen to these Christian hostages?
Well, based on precedent, you know, the women and children will be enslaved, the women will be raped, they might well be sold as concubines and such, and the men will be beheaded. But there is also there's also this idea that they're trying to actually use them to barter and get their own hostages released, their own ISIS hostages, and then, you know, whatever's left, they'll probably kill, or the other things that I mentioned. So either way, it's not a good thing. I mean, think about it, 200, almost up to 200 people. And, you know, I wrote about this, but if you hear the archbishop from that area, he actually said that right before it happened, they saw Western, you know, pilots and fighters in the air, and they saw the Red Cross and so forth, and everyone was in the area. And then once they got attacked, no one was there to help. No one was there to come to, you know, to offer any kind of aid, humanitarian or otherwise.
Yeah. And what's to me even more tragic is the fact that Western leaders are not addressing this, and not, there's no help. I mean, you're seeing individuals. I mean, there's individuals from this country, individuals from the UK that are actually going over and helping the Christian militia fight ISIS.
Right.
But we're not helping them. I mean, the West is not helping them.
Yeah, reports say several dozens Western Christians, and that's the point. They're Christian, and they're actually traveling to that area with their own funds to actually fight and wage war against ISIS, not as part of the U.S. military, just you know, helping whoever they can find. And they don't even want to give the real names because they're actually fearful that the U.S. government will try to arrest them because they're actually trying to help. And they all say, when you listen to their interviews, about how you know, they know their own nation, the United States, could actually go and finalize this war instantaneously, but they're not. So, you know, they're taking it upon themselves to go and fight on behalf of fellow Christians.
Yeah, true. I mean, true heroes. But
right.
Yet, we're, you know, just imagine that, what you just said, that they're concerned that their own country, our country, a free people, that our government would try to find them and arrest them for joining with Christians who are trying to defend themselves. How insane is this?
Well, exactly. That's the bizarre world that we're in. And that's why it's dangerous, because, you know, this is just the beginning. And if people are not able to connect the dots right now and realize that at least this particular administration is not interested, you know, in their welfare when it comes to the Islamic / jihadi threat, you know, it's it's available to everyone else outside the West. We don't notice it so much because it's not really happening, at least not to that degree. But those people there understand and see what's happening, and they also understand and see how Western leadership is going out of their way, not only not to help them, but in various ways to help enable the jihadis by, you know, supporting moderate jihadis to fight against ISIS.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm curious, Raymond, if you had the opportunity, what would you want leaders in the free world to say and or do to help Christians being targeted in Muslim-majority countries?
Well, I mean, the very first thing they can do is just be honest or educated, because perhaps it's not that they're lying, it's just they're ignorant. So either way, to come to terms with reality, to come to terms with what Islam's all about, Islam's teachings, Islam's doctrines, Islam's history, and to recognize that what we're seeing at the hands of ISIS is exactly a manifestation of those three things, and to formulate a response that is worthy of Western civilization.
Yeah. That would be great. I'd start with the education part, but in the case of Mr. Obama, he knows what it's about. In the case of Cameron, not so much, but many of them don't want to know too much because then they'd have to be accountable for what they know. And that's the tragic part, I think, yeah. Now, most of us who know the facts realize these Islamic terrorists are committing acts supported by the Quran, Hadith, and the Sunnah. But Islam apologists, I'm borrowing a term from Alan West, apologists for Islam, insist that ISIS and what we deem Islamic terrorism is not Islamic. What's the truth here, Raymond?
Well, the truth is the Islamic State is quite a reflection of the adjective that precedes the word state, that is Islam. You know, these guys are the ultimate representation of Salafi Islam, or basically the Salaf are the original forebears of Islam, including Muhammad and the early generations who are considered the ideal Muslims, and Muslims should emulate their lives on them. So everything that the Islamic State has done and is doing, whether it's beheading, whether it's crucifying, whether it's enslaving and raping and selling people on the market, whether it's even burning people alive, all of these things, Islamic Prophet Muhammad and all of his best companions, the so-called righteous caliphs, have done them. And they're on record in Islamic texts as doing them. And so the Islamic State is not doing anything out of the ordinary. It's only emulating what its founder has done. And all this talk about, you know, that this is a hijacking of Islam, this is not true Islam, is just pure baloney that has absolutely no basis in reality. It's just people say it because it resonates with a lot of Western people who don't know anything about Islam and who are convinced that obviously no great religion would condone this behavior. And so it's living just on a rumor that was fabricated for several decades in Western academia and media and leadership and so forth. But the Islamic State is not doing anything that the Islamic Prophet and all the early caliphs did not do.
Yeah, exactly. And isn't ISIS and Boko Haram and their brethren attempting to commit genocide against Christians?
Right. But you see, in the Western media, you know, that they'll never say that because to them, genocide is a race thing. And both Boko, you know, the Muslims of Nigeria and the Christians are all black, so, you know, they can get away with, you know, just same thing with, you know, the Turks and the Armenians. I mean, by and large, they almost look identical as people, and so they don't, you know, you don't use the word genocide. But, of course, the destruction of a genos or a people is not necessarily because of their race. It could be their, you know, religious heritage and identity, and that's exactly what Islam has done for centuries up until now, with Boko Haram trying to cleanse Nigeria of anyone who's a Christian, even though they look the same. You know, go to these Arab countries, Egypt, for example, the Copts. You can't differentiate them physically from a Muslim. They have the same names, oftentimes, you know, the same culture and so forth. The only thing that makes them different is they're Christians, and they're also being cleansed. In Somalia, Al-Shabaab, and so forth, one can go on and on, but for sure it is a genocide, and it's the genocide that has caused what was once half of Christendom, that is to say North Africa and all of the Middle East, to become today part or the heart of the Muslim world.
You know, Raymond, we have heard a lot about Islam needing a reformation like Christianity. Now, I believe some appropriate synonyms for reformation would be like renewal, realignment, or correction. Is that what Islam needs, or is that what we're actually seeing right now?
Well, it's really the latter. People like to posit, by way of analogy, the Protestant Reformation. You may say, well, you know, it needs something like that. But if you look at it, the Protestant Reformation in its mechanics is what's happening right now in the Islamic world. Because the Protestant Reformation was a product, first and foremost, of the printing press. It was a product of Christians, Catholic Christians at the time, having the at hand access the Bible and being able to read it, because now they're all literate, and being able to say, hey, you know, a lot of the stuff that the church is saying and doing is not in the Bible. And so today, if you move that analogy to the Islamic world, there's a lot more literate Muslims in the world than there were centuries past. Everyone now has a Quran. Everyone has the internet, can access the hadith and the sunnah of Muhammad. And so these people are reading and seeing what Islam is all about, and they're saying, you know what, whatever, you know, the so-called moderates are telling us is not the case. This is literal Islam, and so they're following it. And so the irony is, you know, a fundamentalist approach to Christianity and a fundamentalist approach to Islam are leading to antithetical results, and people don't get that. But the reason because of that is that the texts themselves, the Bible on the one hand and the Quran and the Sunnah and the Hadith on the other, teach diametrically opposed things. And so it's only normal that when someone, if I as a Christian go to the Bible and read it and say I'm going to try to implement it literally, and I'm being told to turn the other cheek and love my enemies and so forth, I'm going to be a sort of person. But if I go to the Quran and the Hadith and find out that I'm supposed to go on a war path and subjugate and kill people who do not believe what I believe, and, you know, force them to pay me tribute and destroy their places of worship, that's going to lead to another result. And so really, it doesn't need a reformation in that sense. What people are really asking for and what they want out of the Islamic world is for it to secularize. And that, again, is the antithesis of religion. Christianity can exist and thrive within a secular society, because in a way it is otherworldly, and it's, you know, render unto Caesar what is Caesar and render unto God what is God. But right. With Islam, what you do in your everyday life is Islam. Islam means to submit. You're submitting to the laws and the ways of Allah. So how you live your life is a reflection of Islam. You can't separate, you know, mosque and state, as it were.
Right. And with, of course, no disrespect to Zuhdi Jasser, but individuals such as him have said that they're looking for a reformation, a reform in Islam, but that's not really what he's looking for. That's not what he's referring to, because according to what you just explained, and I agree, by the way, that's not, he's trying to change Islam, not have a renewal or a realignment, is he?
Right. No, what he's doing is what a lot of Western people are doing. He's saying anything that Islam teaches that does not contradict Western norms is okay. So praying five times, fasting, paying zakat or alms and so forth, that's all great. But the other things, subjugating infidels, burning their places of worship, banning the crucifix, the Bible, the church, you know, the treatment of women and all that, because it contradicts Western, you know, Western norms, they want to change that. But from a Muslim point of view, the same sources, the same logic that tells a Muslim to pray five times is the same source that tells them to go on jihad and kill infidels. And so you can see the contradiction, and this is exactly what the so-called radicals throw in the face of these moderates. They say, you want to follow the words of Allah up until your Western masters say this isn't good enough, and then you want to start changing it, and you call it a reformation. So in a way, from a logical point of view, I agree with the radicals, because they're articulating Islam in a more sincere way, whereas the types that you're referring to are not, they don't want to come to grips with the fact that the same sources and the same methodology that determine to pray, which is okay, also determined that you have to go on jihad against the infidel, which is not okay. So then they play this little game.
Yeah, because, again, no disrespect to him, because he's an intelligent man, but isn't this more wishful thinking than reform?
Yeah, it is wishful thinking, or it's just, as I call it, it's they want an Islam without Islam. You know, it's an Islam is submission, right? Submission to the laws of Allah. So they want an Islam which somehow has the trappings of Islam, but it's not really submission to the laws of Allah.
Right, sure. Before we finish, Raymond, could you tell us what's going on with Boko Haram? I mean, I understand they are no longer staying just in Nigeria. They've spread out further than that.
Yeah, they're spreading to neighboring nations like Cameroon and Niger. They're radicalizing, to use that word, the Muslims of those nations and, helping recruit them into the jihad and indoctrinating the young people, the young men there, into, the jihad and dying and 72 virgins or raisins, whatever the case may be. My point about raisins is there's a new interpretation that the 72 virgins is based on the Syriac language, and it's not virgins, it's actually raisins. This is what a lot of scholars... This is what a lot of scholars are saying now. Not Muslim scholars, Western scholars, and they make a very compelling point. But so anyway,
you got me with that one. So they promised 72 raisins. Oh my gosh! Surprise! Oh my gosh!
Exactly.
That's the kind of surprise Allah would give them, anyway. So
right. Gosh. Well, there's another funny, to end this on a humorous note, but there's a funny cartoon script I've seen where it says, it's a picture of these nuns with rifles and a recently exploded jihadist is entering heaven, and they're all in heaven, and they have the guns pointed at him, and they say, and the nuns, and or the captain is, wrong kinds of virgins.
Oh my gosh. No, I don't want the listeners to miss anything that you write or when you speak. So where can the listeners, Raymond, follow and support your brilliant work and purchase your books?
Well, thank you for that, Audrey. The best one-stop place for me, I write for a lot of publications, but my own website posts everything I write, including for other places and my videos. And my books or links to Amazon for my books. And that's just my name, RaymondIbrahim.com.
Excellent. And as always, in my after show, I will post that link and any other links, as far as Raymond's books, I put direct links for that and also whatever his latest article is. Thanks so much again, Raymond, for taking the time to share with us. I look forward to your next visit. Until then. I tell you, you still got me with the 72 raisins, okay? God bless you and your work, and we look forward to your next visit. Bye for now.
You too. Thanks very much, Audrey. Okay, bye-bye. Okay.